What's up, man?
How's it going?
Dude, just one more win. That's it.
Then what, dude? What, we hit your 55?
We wrap up the third place, and I think it's obvious that Coach D wants that third place. I think he's already settled in there.
Do you think that this is, like, preferential? Like, hey, I would prefer play the, you know, whoever it is out of, like, Phoenix and Dallas, I think, versus whoever it could be coming out of the wild card, as we call it now, or the playing game?
Well, I mean, let's just take a step back, all right? I'm going to tell you about my my night last night. Yeah. And then we're going to get into that there first. Right. Last night, you know, going to bed, and all of a sudden I hear these, like, little fucking feet in my attic, bro. And the fucking mice, dude. And I know what mice sounds like, and it's the first time I hear it. And when you hear one, there's, you know, there's way more than one. So I'm, like, all, like, charged up this morning. You know, I go get some mouse traps, you know, rat traps, whatever I need to. And I'm setting them up upstairs in the attic, right, you know? And it's one of those ones that have, like, the cages where they crawl into it and it's a humane way of dying, whatever. Fuck that shit. They fucking hurt. So anyways, I'm, like, putting stuff up there and I go to pick one up, right? And I put my finger right inside of it, not thinking about it, because I was like, oh, it's a protection thing. I'm not going to get my finger snapped. Bro, it just popped my finger, bro. Like, I cannot even explain, dude. Immediately, I was like, what the fuck? And, like, I threw the cage because it was just on my finger, dude. And you know when you, like, do this right here, like, anything you hold just goes flying off your fingers, dude. It would not come off, dude. It was like I had to go and reset it, dude. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Can't believe this. This is bullshit. And so now I am no longer a fan of catching mice. So they can go fuck themselves, bro.
Dude, I think that probably applies to the current playoff race, because you see these teams gunning for number one.
I know.
Be careful of the traps.
I'm going to kick those motherfuckers. Right. And that's what I keep on looking at this team. It's like, if Sam Presti and Coach D have sat down and circled the two or maybe three teams they want to play in the first round.
Yeah.
Set these guys and let them rest. Shea's got 71 games under his belt. Don't bring him back until the two games before the playoffs. Same with Jada. Like, what the hell, man? Like, get these guys some rest and get them going for the playoffs, because you know it's coming and you know it's going to be something that we're there. So if we settled in for that third place, it's all about Lakers, Pelicans, Suns, you know, like that's the three teams that, I mean, there might be another team that sneaks up there, you know, and gets there, or a team that loses a bunch of games like Dallas. But really, that's where we're looking at.
Yeah, obviously that's the, you know, that's what we're focusing on. I think we could have gunned it for the number one seed if that was really at all within something that we had kind of laid out as a goal. But being healthy and making a big playoff push is obviously the goal. So I love it, because I feel like we're the only team who really is focusing on this. This is one of those things that a lot of people felt like the game has been moving toward. Some teams did this a few years ago, but as of recently, maybe since the 73 win Warriors, like, everybody seems to not really give a shit about, you know, rest and going into the playoffs. It's more about having the right groove. I'm looking at this and I'm like, I like that we're prioritizing health and a deep run. We saw last year we were exhausted when the playing game hit. We had one good playing game and we had another one. We just ran into a team that was tougher than us. I want to see us fresh. I want to see what we can do. We've got, if we do this right, we got at least a couple months left in the season. It could be very interesting. So, yeah, we'll be the three seed, it looks like. That Hornets game is, you know, pretty amazing, dude. Watching us get to face off against Poku, Trey Mann,
former
Micic, and Bertans. And, yeah, we wanted that win.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that were playing, it was just – it was fun. I'm a big fan of Poku's. I found myself cheering for – a different team, really, for the first time. I wasn't really cheering for the Hornets as much as the players that used to play for the Thunder and their continued success. I think the Hornets got a hell of a deal because they got some young talent to help restock their future and hopefully move in the right direction. And I hope those guys have really, really long careers in the NBA. But you could see those guys up against the guys that Sam Presti decided to keep. A lot of that was based on Coach Dagnall's rotations and health and things like that. But I think seeing those two sides, the I was thinking it was the Thunder past future versus the Thunder future, you know, like kind of vibes. Like it was really an interesting matchup, and I really appreciate it. I even heard the Hornets announcers give a shout out to the Thunder's player development staff because they're really counting on that development to help guide them into the future.
Yeah, you're right, man. And it's just nice to be able to see our G League is having great success right now. I think they're in the finals of the G League. This is just an exciting time to be a Thunder fan. Really exciting. Cameron Woods has done an amazing job in that G League coaching job there. He did an amazing job as an assistant coach last year. But I'm just excited about the coaching staff that we currently have. And if you really just break it down and you kind of understand how it goes, it's pretty exciting. I mean, like, you got Sam Presti, who obviously is constantly keeping an eye on the team. I mean, he doesn't need to do much because Coach D's got it under control. But one thing I love about Sam Presti is he's behind the scenes, making sure the players, the coaches, the training staff don't have to worry about anything else but doing their jobs. And that's one of the great things about having a GM and a president that's so connected to this team. And if you really want to get an understanding of how connected he is to this team, wait until we play home games, guys. And then every single time you can see him standing at the foot of the tunnel, just standing there watching the team bench and watching how they react to everything. And that's how connected he is. And it really, like, it's exciting because if you look at this Oklahoma City Thunder organization, you cannot say that it's not the best organization in the league. You just can't. Like, if someone wants to say, well, they're top three in the league, an organization, right? To me, like, whether you want to call them number one or top three, it doesn't really fucking matter because we're still a top tier organization in the league. And it's amazing to be able to have an organization that's a small market, maybe the smallest market in all sports, major league sports, to be able to do this. So my hats are off to them for what they are able to do. And Mark, I got to give a shout out to somebody right here. His name is JD Dave. We don't get a lot of comments, especially positive comments on Apple, but we've gotten a couple recently, and it's really like encouraging to both Mark and I when we get these on Apple, because that place is chock full of people that truly hate us. This one, though, I love, man. It got me excited. I took a snapshot of it. I sent it over to Mark. It says, top three Thunder podcast. Gave us 5 stars, so thank you very much for that, DJ, or JD. The OKC Thunder podcast scene is super solid, so the top three is a big compliment. Some of the reviews here are overly critical to two guys that are putting out free content for people to enjoy. I will admit, some of the swearing and crude references can be slightly unprofessional, but you respect that they just let it flow. Thunder up. That's it, man. Like, we just let it flow. Like, I understand we say fuck a whole fucking lot, but it's one of our fucking favorite words.
Yeah, it is. It's true. And we have a lot of fun. So, yeah, I get it, though. I get it why we're not everybody's cup of tea. And that's cool with me, too. But I appreciate the love. Going through a lot over the last few months, you know, comments like that mean a lot to us. They give us, you know, they keep in perspective. Like, you can easily focus on the people who got a lot, like who can point out the negatives. And then there's the people who, you know, have something to say that, you know, encourages us and lets us know we're doing something right. At least, you know, who knows? At least that's what it feels like. So, we appreciate it. And we'll keep on trying to just be ourselves.
Anytime somebody puts a positive or negative comment on Apple, we will make sure you guys get a shout out, and all that good stuff. So yeah, man, I'm all for it. I'm all for people letting us know that they dig us or they don't, because I mean, everybody has an opinion. I'm all for it.
Everybody. So what are the games we got left, Dave? You got the schedule in front of you. I'm sorry to put you on the spot like this.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I know we got San Antonio coming up here, which is fuck San Antonio. I know we got the Kings, San Antonio, Bucks, and Mavericks. We got to win one.
Tough games.
Tough one games. To wrap up.
And none of those are a given without Shea or J-Dub.
for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And the standings right now, we are currently 3 games above Los Angeles Clippers. They have 4 games. We have 4 games left. Again, we win one, it doesn't matter, right? All right. They Clippers have Suns back to back, Jazz and Rockets. So if they win both of the Suns games, then they're going to be in good shape. But the Suns need to win because the Suns are sitting in 6th place right now, which is the team that we're going to play if the season ended today. But Pelicans right there. Dallas is 2 games ahead of Suns. And then you got Sacramento, you know, 1 game behind Pelicans and Suns. So this is crazy, bro. I mean, like I said, last podcast, I think it was, we don't make the playoffs last year with this team at 40 wins. You know, like this team wins 40 wins last year. We don't make the playoffs because Golden State has 43 wins right now and they're in the 10th place.
Yeah.
So kind of a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah. And like last year, the Nuggets led the West and I think they had like 53 wins or something. Like only one team over 50 wins in the West or something crazy. So yeah, it's a different situation this year all around. So playoffs, dude, it's hard to even talk about them when we don't know who we're going to match up against, but that should clarify soon as things keep going. How about the number one and two seed situation?
Who do you want
right
to play,
now?
Bro?
I mean, honestly, I don't really want to think about too much. Like, I just want to play whoever we're matched up against. I would love the Mavericks. I think that would be very special. But in the end, a lot of people would prefer a team like probably Phoenix that we feel like we could handle. I don't know. We'll go back and forth on that. But what, I mean, how about this, dude? Who do you want?
I'll tell you the two.
Who do you want to be the, if we're the 3 seed, who do you want to be the 1 seed? Who do you want to be the 2 seed? Yeah. Obviously, I think I would want the Nuggets to be the 1 seed. That way we're matched up on the same side.
Yeah, I want Nuggets.
Yeah.
We want
to face the Timberwolves in the
That's what I want.
Because we want to face the Nuggets in the conference finals, right?
Second round. Yeah, and here's the thing is that I would rather face Minnesota in the second round than the Clippers or like that. So for me, it's like, okay, I can get that. Where I want to bring in, man, I want to play the Pelicans in the first round. I know people will be like, ooh, what are you doing, Dave? No, listen to what I'm saying. Why the Pelicans? I feel like the Pelicans out of Phoenix, Sacramento, and Dallas is the weakest team there. They just are. They're a solid team, but the way we spread out the floor, it causes them so much issues. Like if I'm sitting and I'm circling a team, Pelicans.
Pelicans have a couple of advantages that some of the other teams don't have, which is namely like their depth in role players. When you go like Trey Murphy, Herb Williams, and you go CJ McCollum. Like I know CJ's more than a role player, but like if you were to say, like, who has a better supporting cast, the Pelicans or the Mavericks, it's not even close, dude, in my opinion. I feel like the Pelicans have much more versatile wings who can, you know, a number of them can put up 30. Like, you have to respect their style of offense. Willie Green's doing a great job. So, I think...
But what is King?
To me, the Pelicans
what is King in playoffs?
What? I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, who's got the best player, right?
Not even best player. It's who has the most experienced players out there. Like, that's what it gets scared about having it play against Dallas, who has a number of veterans that have been there and have won the championship. Then you've got Phoenix, the same thing. Like, I get concerned about those teams with us being a young team. I want to face up against another young team.
Who do you think would have the advantage?
I think that would be really beneficial for us.
The Suns or the Pelicans if they matched up?
We have a better advantage against the Pelicans. I know people would disagree. I get it.
If the Suns and the Pelicans matched up, who would you say had an advantage? Suns versus Pelicans.
Oh, Suns or Pelicans? I think Suns win.
Really?
If they enter a 7-game series, I think Suns not just win, but they annihilate them. Because I think...
Oh, man, I disagree.
I think you have... Really? Okay. This is what I love, man. I love it when we disagree about something.
I think like the Suns have... Okay, their strengths are what? Like wing scores, right? And like as far as the strengths defensively of the Pelicans, wing defenders, like they can run a number of guys at you that are really, really good. So that's there. And then like we're, I would say like the, who's going to, you know, I think that's kind of like where you look at it and it's like certain people negate the other people's strengths in a way that like makes you kind of think,
sure,
is this really going to be a runaway series? And if it's not, then it's going to be grit and grind, dirty type series. And that's where I think the Pelicans end up with the advantage. And I'd say like maybe the Mavericks end up with the advantage over the Pelicans because the way that Luka can be a maestro and control all corners of the court. But it's going to have to be Luka for 42 sure. minutes a game because the Pelicans are going to put a blitz on them in a different way. So it's a fascinating question. It's a little bit like rock, okay. paper, scissors, like this beats this, but this beats this. And you know, nobody wins every time.
I think the Mavericks, let's just be honest right here at this moment, they would have to lose the last four games in order to put themselves at the number six because they're two games again ahead of Phoenix and the Pelicans. They have Hornets, Heat, Pistons, and us. They'd have to lose all four games in order to be in that sixth spot. But hey,
if the Hornets played like they just did.
I just don't. Maybe. But then you got the Pistons, though. You know, I mean, imagine if the Mavericks got lost to the Hornets and the Pistons in the same fucking week just before the playoffs, bro. That would be like the worst type of shit unless they wanted to because we've seen them tank before, you know?
Yeah.
Unless they put a target on us and are like, we don't want to play against the Clippers in the first round. We'd rather play against Oklahoma City. In that case, we could see something.
Fascinating. Who would have thought this late in the season? Because listen,
LeBron wants to play against us.
You think so?
Did you hear that interview with JJ?
I mean, he made a comment.
I know how to stop Chet. Right. He's like, but I'm not saying anything because we might play him in the playoffs. So. For me, I think about that. I think about that a lot. Is like, is LeBron being back there being like, I want to play against Oklahoma City because out of the first games in, you know, he doesn't want to play against Minnesota for good reasons because they don't match up well. Denver, they don't match up well. Clippers, they don't match up well. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's one team, I think, in his opinion that he wants to play against. I think that's why you've seen the last 10 games them go 8-2 right now, you know, putting up some serious numbers. I think they're really fucking trying and they're only a game and a half out.
That's it. I didn't realize that. Something
could happen. Ooh, there.
We're watching scoreboards something every could night.
So it's every night, guys. It's so fun at this point.
Every day I wake up and the standings have changed. First place changed. Everywhere else is a ripple effect. So beautiful time, man, to be an NBA fan.
I love
taking this ride with you guys.
I love the fact that we're resting. Everybody else is balling right now, and we're just being like, yeah, we'll be all right. You know, we got J-Dub. We got Shea. They're at games. You know, they're around the team. They're not sitting out and actually what I would consider like truly injured to be missing this much games right now.
My guess is a practice.
Like, does Shea have a contusion? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But is Shea have a contusion? Fuck yeah. Does J-Dub have a twisted ankle? Fuck yeah. But is it something that they would be missing at this point in the season if we were actually competing for a top seed? No.
And it's
I think Coach D and his coaching staff sat down and they said, these are the three teams we want to play in the playoffs. And the best place for us to be is seed three. Because if we go one or two, it's all about who plays better in the play-in games. And we don't want to do that at this point.
There you go. And I think also you know that throughout the course of the season, each player deals with things that could they could sit out for because of the it's going to linger. And if you don't take some rest at some point, it won't improve. Like a sprained ankle may not keep him out for back-to-back games or something like that. But it doesn't mean he has his full explosiveness or that he's playing like pain-free and stuff like that. And like we can achieve that level and be playing our best basketball in the playoffs. Like it's not that innovative, but I feel like nobody else is doing it right now. So maybe we should give Coach D a little bit more credit for seemingly a really innovative approach in this moment and like understanding the value of the 3 seed versus the 1 and 2 seed.
Bro, let's just talk about the game for a minute last night.
All right.
I loved the game. I mean, it was a fucking fun game. And One of the things I want to say, I know a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I really, really love the announcer for the Hornets. He's, I forget his name,
it's like,
but
a WWE,
he gets so amped up. Right? Dude, he just gets so amped up. And here's the thing about it, right? Mark and I are talking, and Mark writes me a text message. He says to me, he goes, I can't help it, but I'm cheering for our old players like Poku and Trey Mann and stuff like that. And I'm like, I am too, but I'm watching the Hornets guy, an announcer, and he's getting me all amped up about these guys. And it's just, it was just Poku's a fun flex. Fucking like, I get it.
Del Curry said he flexed like he's Poku's, looking in the mirror at himself.
He's like, oh my God, he just like, threw it down. And he's like, oh, flexed it. This is such a great call, bro.
I honestly want to give Poku a big hug. I'm like, I hope you the best luck. And like, he's still young. That's what we got to keep in mind. So, you know, the best is yet to come to Poku.
When we drafted Poku, right, man, I wrote Poku's dad a letter on Twitter. And I was just like thanking all the work that he's going to do. And we're going to enjoy watching him for many, many years, whether he is an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform or not. Like, that was the thing about Poku is like, I fell in love with his style of hoops. And Mark knows that more than anybody. He's a special player, but he's so young and he needs so much time and he needs minutes and he needs to be able to flex like that.
Yeah.
Problem is that couldn't happen with the Oklahoma City Thunder anymore. There's no more waiting because we were drafting players that were ready to play at that very moment that were more impactful than the other guys that we had in the past. Jay Will just took that play from Poku. It was just like, motherfucker, I want this. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And Jay Will fits his team better. That's why we don't have JRE anymore. And then you're saying, okay, what about Cason Wallace? Well, there's a reason we don't have Misic on this team anymore or Trey Mann on this team anymore. His name is called Cason Wallace, right? His name is also called Isaiah Joe. These guys were making it impossible for these other players to play. And for me, I look at it and I see Sam Presti just being just a totally amazing dude and being like, I'm going to put you someplace where you guys can play. Some of you guys can start and you guys will be able to get a ton of minutes. And there's a new new owner over there in the Charlotte. So you guys are going to be taken care of. And that's it. You know, like, this is it, man. This is a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. Beautiful thing. And you're right. And I do miss some of those guys, but man, I am so grateful that they're getting their opportunities. And, you know, just seeing Trey Mann after the game, hanging out with the guys, pretty special moment. You know that they share something really, really great, and they're all cheering for each other. You mentioned a couple of guys as being guys that were successful, and that meant that you know, other people who had opportunities, you know, needed to go somewhere else to find those opportunities. And two of those guys are from one college team, from one high school team, actually. And the state of Arkansas, and they just got a brand spanking new basketball coach. They went out
sexy
and got
coach, bro.
They got the signing of the year, maybe much bigger than that. We'll see what happens, because at this moment, it's just like, okay, John Calipari to the Hogs is fascinating, but let's not underestimate
Arkansas,
the value of the talent that Arkansas has in state. You know, we're mentioning Jay Will, we're mentioning Isaiah Joe, but they had several other players in this last draft that were, you know, top 10. I mean, I guess Anthony Black was the only top 10, but they also had Nick Smith Jr., who was supposed to go in the top 10. Like, this state is loaded with basketball talent, and now they have a coach who has made it his job to turn elite talent into elite pros. Do you think that we're just starting to see the beginning of the Oklahoma City Thunder / Arkansas Hogs connection? The I-40 drive is alive.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're always driving
so
Cal's
excited.
Kids.
First of all,
we're always getting Cal's dude, kids, dude.
Always. And then Musselman, bro, I was heartbroken when he left Arkansas. I love what he's done at Arkansas. I was just like, fuck, dude. He went to USC. But I've been an Arkansas fan since my buddy Chris Kilman gave me an Arkansas jersey, pair of shorts, a hat, all this stuff when I was turned 13.
Shout out Chris
Kilman. All right, man. I've always been a fan of Arkansas. And so for me, it's like, first of all, getting Arkansas players on our team, Isaiah Joe and Jay Will, like, was amazing. But the fact is that now Coach Calipari, John Calipari in Arkansas, because he wanted to go to Arkansas. Come on, dude, that is next level. And I just want to say it's next level because Calipari did two things. I want to say this. Calipari knew that there was doubt in his name. So he's going to have a hard time recruiting this next year because of the doubt that he was going to be there through the next year, right? And second thing, Calipari's biggest mistake was he continued to bring in freshmen coming in that were freshmen of McDonald's American and all that stuff. He did not touch the transfer portal. Arkansas has no issues with that. They love doing that. And so for me, I look at this like this, is that the transfer portal now becomes fucking for real for Arkansas. And the second thing is they're going to go out there and they're going to get probably two or three of the top tier talents. And I want to say this is that I would say two of the next 7 years, I wouldn't be surprised if Calipari is holding up that trophy for Arkansas.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of like ripple effect.
But for real.
One of the things I love about our future with the Thunder is that when we think about future drafts, we don't feel like we're sitting on the outside looking in, like with a pick in the 25th range.
Yep.
And, you know, like we feel like every year we should have a shot at a top 12 to 14 pick. We should have a lottery pick every year for the next several years. And there might be years where we don't.
Yeah.
But the players to us that really get us jacked up, you know, make us feel giddy in the, you know, Austin Powers way, put it that way. But like, are the players that you don't see coming. The number 12th pick. 12th pick is an amazing place to find value. You find players of great value at the 11th pick, 13th pick, the 10th pick. It all kind of mixed in there. Cason Wallace was pick number 10, but we were able to secure that pick with the 12th pick. Who else? Let's see. Shea was picked at, I think, 12. J-Dub was picked at 11. So the value you can find in these ranges is really interesting. And the question is, like, are we done seeing Kentucky be a powerhouse at producing that talent? Not necessarily immediately, because they have great basketball in the state. But if that Calipari magic shifts to Arkansas, you better believe Sam Presti is going to be the first person buying in on that. And those players that are available, 10, 12, 13, 14, where we end up with a pick, are going to be some of the best players in the future of the league. Look at the guys and just look at Calipari's track record when it comes to guards. You go down that list, dude, and it's scary. It's scary. And if you can anticipate that shift and be on top of it, like Sam Presti is a master at, then yeah, get ready for it, guys. Buy your Hogs uniforms now.
Makes me excited. It makes me excited to be even more of a Thunder fan now, because this I-40 connection, Arkansas and Oklahoma, it's something that's always been near and dear to my heart. Now Arkansas has locked up a legit one of the greatest coaches of college history. To me, if you look at what Calipari has done with UMass, bringing him to the Final Four with Marcus Camby, and then what does he do? He goes out and gets, don't forget Derrick Rose. They're right there in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? And then he starts being Calipari and doing his thing and going to everywhere he could go. And now this is just another step. And this is just another step for another championship, for another Final Four, for another run for greatness for Calipari, because this is what he does. He goes to a place, he spends 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, brings a bunch of talented players, then peace out.
I've said it for years, and nothing changes unless you want to pick the best available guard, you know, that John Calipari is coaching. You might think, well, there's somebody else that's better, somebody else is higher rated, somebody else who has a different trajectory and all this stuff, but you will never be disappointed if you just follow that one piece of advice. So I know he's leaving Kentucky, but I imagine whatever he's doing will stay. Continue to draft his picks. So that's how we adjust our mindset during this time for him. Pretty big news for Arkansas. Great news for Oklahoma City. Great news for J-Dub.
Huge,
J-Dude. J-Will and Isaiah Joe, and
Isaiah,
their ability to stay connected with a great program that's going to be on the forefront of the future, bro. But we got deviated from our thunder to start talking Hogs basketball. We promise that won't happen too often, but everybody out there knows how big of a fans we are of Calipari and what he's been able to do. Like, we look at Shea as I mean, when Calipari went around to every team in the top of the lottery and said, Shea is him. Shea's the one. Shea's the one. And a lot of them didn't believe him because they're like, yeah, I mean, maybe Kevin Knox is the one. Maybe another one is the one. Here we are, guys. Cal's the man. And we in Cal, we trust as we don't. We never say that. We've never said that before. I take that back, dude. We love trusty. But still, I feel like they can work together. It's like, we'll mainline the talent from Cal and we'll be just fine.
That's it. Mainline it. You put it in the veins. You let it go. And you just enjoy the fucking high, guys. Calipari, Oklahoma City connection is now even fucking closer, guys. I don't think it gets much closer than this unless he came to the state of Oklahoma. So we appreciate you guys. We're going to be back for some more sooner than later, hopefully. And things are getting better, guys. We appreciate you.
See you soon.